Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Holy Spirit, use your word and use my words that you might continually speak your gospel to us and form us continually into the image of the one who died and rose for us. In Jesus' name, amen. This Lent, we're looking at God's will. So throughout the next number of weeks, on Sundays and Wednesdays, in a lot of different ways, different vantage points, looking at God's will. And today we're looking at that line from the Lord's Prayer, Jesus' prayer, from Matthew 6:10, "Thy kingdom come," or "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Words we say very regularly. We might say it in our sleep, that's good too. We might say it without even thinking. But we're going to just dive in a little deeper into those words. What do we mean when we pray that? What are we remembering? What are we thanking God for? And what are we praying for when we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done"? Well, when our son Benjamin was born, we had a bit of a brief scare. It was 3 years ago. He just turned three. Early on a cold, dark January morning, we're at Holland Hospital, and things were going fine, going okay, and then for a while things got kind of tense. I'll spare you the details, but labor was progressing fine, and then all of a sudden things were stalling out at a bad time. And I could see that the doctor who had come in and out a few times started to get concerned. And essentially Ben wasn't coming out, and then his heart rate started to change and do some funny things, and I could tell things were getting a little tense. And then in a moment, I remember the doctor calling on that little walkie-talkie thing they have on their shirt there, and within a snap of her calling and saying a few things, like 10 people flooded in the room in an instant, and it went from, you know, Amy, me, nurse, and doctor to more than 10 people, and I went from being right next to the bed holding Amy's hand, you know, next to her, to being like pushed out of the way to second row with everybody else in front. And then the doctor kind of got in Amy's face and gave her a little pep talk and she said, "You are going to have this baby now." And okay. And then very quickly in an instant, Ben was born and it was all over. And I could see the relief in the room and in the doctor, and then all those extra hands kind of filed out and it seemed everything was fine. And when I think back and recall that, I go, man, you know, things actually did get kind of serious for a little while, and I'm really thankful that it all went okay. And I'm really thankful for modern medicine. I'm really thankful for well-trained nurses, well-trained doctors, good resources, all of those blessings. And then I also start to think, boy, if we lived a few hundred years ago, or even today in a different part of the world, maybe this ended up very differently. And when I start to think about things like this, I start to think about God's work in the past and how God has been faithful in the past, it makes me thankful. When I think about God's work in the past, I give thanks. That's the first thing about praying for God's kingdom to come. Your kingdom come, your will be done. When we think about the past and what God has done, we give thanks. So do you have a story in your life that you look back at and thank God? Something that could have ended very differently than it did, and you look back and thank God for God's faithfulness. You see, when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," that's the first part, is saying, "God, in the past, you have been so faithful to me," and so we give thanks. So the disciples, they saw Jesus praying, and they said, "We want to be like that." They wanted to be like their teacher. And so they went to Jesus and said, "Man, we see what you're doing. We want you to teach us to pray." And that's when Jesus tells them the Lord's Prayer. So Jesus saying, "Well, you want to know how I pray?" This essentially saying, "This is how I pray." And those words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," those were words Jesus prayed and Jesus lived. So before it was ever our prayer, it was Jesus' prayer and Jesus' life. And Jesus invites us then, as he does, to address God as our Father. Now, as we address God as our Father, we pray that he would cause his kingdom to come here on earth as it is in God's very presence in heaven. But Jesus did more than just kind of ask for God's reign and God's will to come. Jesus actually made it happen with his life. And so you look at Jesus' ministry, and he's proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is here, is right in front of you. Repent, believe the gospel. Jesus doesn't only say that. Everything he does brings it. So when you look at all the miracle stories of Jesus, Jesus is bringing God's heavenly reign into real time, into the real lives of real people. And so that's why you see no power of darkness can even hold any authority over people when Jesus walks up to them. Demons are ousted. Sins are forgiven. Poor in spirit welcomed home. And Jesus talks about this kingdom banquet where the worst kind of offenders and sinners sit at the table with the king himself. And so you see Jesus' entire ministry from start to finish was bringing God's kingdom reign to earth just as it is in heaven. And so when King Jesus rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday in a number of weeks from now, when King Jesus ascends the throne of the cross and when he's crowned with thorns and they nail that death sentence above his head, just like they nail those spikes into his hands and feet, don't miss the kingdom activity of God, who, as we saw in Genesis, is doing, is providing on the mountain of the Lord. As Genesis said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And that sign above Jesus said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. We could also add the words, he makes God's kingdom come and God's will be done. So when we pray that, when we pray for God's kingdom and God's will, we can't help but remember what God has done for us in the past. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross, boy, would our life be different. If he hadn't risen from the dead, boy, would the world be different. And so we remember Jesus and what he's done for us. And so we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, with a deep sense of gratitude. So that's the first thing today. We pray for God's will and kingdom, and when we do that, we remember the past with thanksgiving. Well, the second thing is then, we not only remember the past with thanksgiving, we long into the future with hope. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we remember the past in thanksgiving, but we also long for the future with hope. A woman stands at a graveside of her uncle, and the pastor reads from a small book with a golden cross on it, and his words rise above the cold wind. Some of you have heard these words. May God the Father who created this body, may God the Son who by his death redeemed this body, may God the Holy Spirit who in baptism made this body to be his temple, keep these remains until the resurrection of all flesh. And then as a group they pray quietly together, familiar words, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And to her, these words feel familiar and just comforting just to say. And then she gets to these words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And her mind starts to trail off and she thinks, yes, yes, I want your will to be not just in heaven, but here. And dear God, I know my uncle has eternal life and he is with you now. But I want that for everybody here and now. Jesus, come quickly. Let that great day of your resurrection come soon. And so that prayer at the graveside, Jesus, come soon and do what you've promised, that prayer longs for the future with hope. Or it's the man who kneels down before bed, just like he always does, and he thinks of his son, and he prays, and he gets stuck at the phrase, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us. And the past shame of angry words and slammed doors still feels fresh to him. And his guilt comes rushing back. And he wonders, how could he have let all those insults stand between him and his son as their final farewell? And so he forgives his son again for seemingly the 1,000th time in the last 5 years. And he asks his heavenly Father for forgiveness, seemingly for the 1,000th time. And he wonders if he'll ever see his son, and he wonders if his son prays and if he might forgive him too. And so the man sighs and starts the prayer again, and he doesn't get any further than, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And he hopes, not in some empty wishful thinking, but he hopes because he is a God who is faithful in the past and has promised a good future. He hopes for a broken relationship to be restored. And he looks for a reunion that is sure to come, if not in this time. He prays and hopes in eternity. And so in prayer, he longs for the future with hope. Or it's the young couple that often holds hands as they walk together, and it gives them time to talk and sometimes time to pray. But now those walks and prayers have gotten slower and more painful. She didn't get the promotion she was expecting. His job feels overwhelming. They thought they had plenty of savings, but a couple of minor car accidents have added financial stress. They've wanted to start a family for a while, but it hasn't happened quickly. They have all sorts of doubts and fears that keep piling on each other. And then they start talking. They say, I don't even know what to pray, he says. And then she agrees, and they don't even know where to start, but they keep walking and they keep talking. And since they don't have words, they just pray the words that they already know. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And they find that as they pray, they don't just mean help us to not be so confused right now. Even in their confusion, they're longing for a hopeful future that Jesus might bring. And so praying, thy will be done, we remember the past with thanksgiving, and we long for the future with hope, but we live right here in the middle. We live in the present. We live here and now. So what does that do for us now? So when we pray for God's will and God's kingdom, we entrust the present with expectation. That's how prayer works. Praying for God's will and God's kingdom, we remember what God has done in the past, and we're thankful. But because we know God's been faithful in the past, we're confident that God will fulfill his promises in the future, so we have hope. But now, in the present, we can trust God. We can long for the future and say that, God, you will bring that now. We can entrust each day to you. So how can you trust God today? What does it mean for you to entrust your present day today, this week, with expectation? How can you remember God's faithfulness in the past, long for the future with hope, and trust God today? What's something that you've been struggling to trust God with? What is something you're just not willing to let go of and say, God, I'm done trying to solve this, you solve it? What is something God might be asking you to entrust? You see, God has been faithful in the past. God has promised hope for the future, and you can trust him now, today. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we say, God, we trust you today. You're faithful in the past, you're faithful in the future, and we can trust you today. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understandings, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.